Blog Talk Radio.
Are you there?
I'm finally here. What happened?
I don't know. I don't announce you two times.
Michael, it never would say anything. I kept hanging up and calling back.
I saw you on the board twice, and I announced you, and I introduced you twice, and I can hear some of the sounds on the board.
I never heard anything, so I hung up to dial back.
I saw you hung up and down.
I never even heard you talking.
Oh, wow.
Everything okay?
Yeah, everything okay. I mean, now I guess no one heard anything I said. I guess I just spent the last 3 minutes talking to myself.
Yeah, well, I couldn't get in.
Okay, that's got to be Blog Talk. So let me back up and try it again. Maybe it went through to the internet, but not through the phone lines. But you guys, please welcome to the show an individual who's been supporting the TMGN, the TMGS, also Maisha Mack Live, and also Cool Critics. She has hosted probably as many shows as she has names. Please welcome the one and only Miss Janet Hawkins.
Okay, Michael. Well, hello, hello, hello. I'm glad I was able to finally hook up with you because I didn't know what was happening. But I'm glad to be, taking part.
All right. Well, we have a
lot
of great
stuff. You know, there's something wrong with Blog Talk because, Michael, it wasn't saying anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
It just said you're in the host queue. That's it. Yeah.
Well, wow. I kept saying you're in the host queue. Okay. Well, it does that right from time to time. But, you know, I don't know. I'm gonna contact Blog Talk first of the week. Because, see, they used to have a number. You could call them and actually talk to an operator. But we all know nowadays you get no customer service, right? You really don't get anything. You really don't get a live person. And if you do, you have to sit your ass on the phone for damn near 35, 40 minutes, you know, to get someone to answer. And 9 times out of 10, they can't solve your issue. You know, we all
correct.
Know that. All right. So, you know, why have non-customer service? You know, Clark Howard always said that. You know, stop calling the non-customer service. You know, you can call up a store, and they don't answer the damn phone. You know, so that's how it is. But let me open up the mics to the other co-hosts here. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic to the man in California by way of my East St. Louis, the one, the only, the one who always says, Mike, you open up a can of damn worms, my brother. Please welcome Mr. Timon. Oh, we need a life jacket. Ship.
Oh, he went with one. Hey, Timon.
And how are you, Janet? Janet, I will say, I'm have to agree with you. I didn't hear nothing either. I sat there on that thing. I said, "Where Mike at? Mike know he's wrong. Mike doing something, man. What Mike doing? Mike, you know, Mike be doing 1,000 things at the same time. And he didn't know.
Yeah.
He thought he was talking to us. He probably had us on mute. Didn't know who we were.
No, I did not. Trust me. I was like, okay, trust me. I made sure things that were, in fact, by the way, for all the listeners, we're going to do some hot topics in the first hour. The second hour, our special guest is one of our own special friends and loved ones, Miss Cotton Campbell, award-winning poet, is going to be our special guest in the second hour. And I had to make sure that everything I downloaded or uploaded to the board was perfect. I've been spending time on that and making sure. And I even chimed in to the board a good 15 minutes ahead of time, which I normally do around 10. And everything seemed to be fine. And, the intro played and everything, and everything looked fine. I saw you guys pop up on the board. But why you couldn't hear me and I couldn't hear you, I really don't know. Blog Talk sometimes have those issues. They really do. And anybody that has a show on Blog Talk will tell you that.
Yeah, because I hung up and called back because I was en route. I said, well, I don't hear anything, so something ain't right. It's not right, you know, but I'm glad I was able to finally get through.
Well, hopefully it won't be an issue for the rest of the show. Let me hit this hand waving here, because I do believe that is our guest in the next hour. 346-274. Cotton, is that you?
That is me. That is her. That is we.
Hey, there we go.
Hey, everybody.
You know what? We are connecting the damn dots. Here we go. Here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show. And when I listened to some of her poetry, I was like, hurt me, baby, hurt me. Make me write bad checks. Please welcome Ms. Cotton Campbell.
The
oh,
love
my
poet,
goodness
the love song poet.
Yeah,
oh,
wow.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect for the Valentine's weekend what she has put together. I was blushing. I'm black, and black folks don't blush. But anyway, when we get to the second
night. I blushed too.
Well, I'm darker than you are. But anyway. You don't notice when dark black folks blush, okay? I'm just being honest. You know, you just don't notice. We just turn darker. We don't turn red. But anyway, let's move forward. But I was blushing when I was listening to her material. I was like, what? Oh, hold on now. Here comes another bad check. But, hey, Cotton.
Hey. I said, just in time for Valentine's Day. Cotton
perfect.
Campbell.
Perfect. Perfect for Valentine's Day. Okay. But let's stay on track here. Let's stay on course because before we get to Cotton in the second hour, and thank you so much. We have been anticipating this and looking forward to you guys listening to, you know, some of her. I mean, she really has some creative writings, and it's going to be awesome, award-winning. And, yeah, we look forward to it in the second hour. But let's go ahead and get to the hot topics. And, granted, Janet, you do some great research, and I want you guys to know I'm so thankful for Janet Davis for all the time and effort that she puts into doing the research on what we talk about. And it takes time. And I've mentioned many a times that her and I will go toe to toe on topics and everything, but we've managed to get it together every week. But Jen, I want you to pull this one thing up, if you don't mind. Donald Trump is not Donald Trump, the former president of the United States, is not sitting back and just relaxing and saying, you know, it's over with, I'm done. I'm not going to, there's no way they're going to believe in me anymore. No, Donald Trump made sure he had something. He took something from the White House that he should not have taken.
Yeah.
According to articles I've read, that other presidents didn't do this or have been accused of it. But Donald Trump is. Janet, can you share with us, what did Donald do?
Donald Trump took over, well, at least they know so far, 15 boxes of important paperwork from the White House and took it down to Mar-a-Lago. Some of the stuff was top secret that he shouldn't have even contemplated on taking. He took with them. They had to go retrieve it from him. And then on top of that, most of his paperwork he had tore up in shreds, some things looking like confetti. That people in the administration had to try and tape everything back together for the archives.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You trash. Oh, yeah. That can't be true. No.
Oh, yeah.
Not Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Let me call Fox News and see if they can confirm that. Oh, no, that's the wrong one to call.
But that's a serious thing that happened. And if he gets away with this, it's no holds barred. You know, it's bad enough he's running around saying that most of the prosecutors are racist out to get him, and he's going to sick his people on them, worse than January 6th. Then to find out he took all this important information that was supposed to go to the National Archives, was sitting up in boxes in Mar-a-Lago, just anybody could just look at stuff.
Well, you know, I was really impressed with the boxes that he showed to everybody. You remember back when he was, you know, running for office, and he had that big wall of boxes and said, hey, you guys can read all this. I was like, who the hell is going to sit down? You remember that when he did that press
conference? No, all the stacks of paperwork saying that's how he's so much involved in the tax audit.
That's why he
can't share his taxes.
Right, right. This is part of the audit. But here's the paperwork here in front of you, America. Believe what I tell you. You know, it's crazy because, and I'm not going to stay on this topic for long because we have so much going on, so much more we have to talk to, and time flies so quickly when we really get into this conversation. But I'm glad that you share that because people forget that these people are still around. These people who tried to overthrow the government are still around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, granted, I was on the show earlier. I wasn't on the show per se. I was listening on the show, and I made a comment. And some folks made some comments about our government. And to be honest, on both sides, there's crooked people on both sides. Donald Trump was just more open about his crookedness. That's my opinion. He was very open about it. He didn't give a shit. All right? Can we agree to do on that? He didn't care. He just didn't. There are politicians that we love and everything and made mistakes, and we forgive them, and sometimes we are pissed at them. I mean, if you look at my boy who got caught with cocaine in a hotel room, hell, he ran for office and still. Okay. I mean, come on, let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. Right. About it. And we are a forgiving people, depending on it.
Right.
Now, you kill somebody or someone gets killed based on your negligence and your hatred or whatever it may be, no, we don't really forgive that quickly, if at all. But if you got a mistress, you snort a little cocaine or you hit the pipe every now and then, we can forgive that now, right? That's the society that we live in. Unfortunately. Think about it.
Like Coretta forgave Martin.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Coretta forgave
she
Martin.
Did. And he told her that while she was in the hospital. She had just had surgery and had a tumor removed.
But the reality is this, oh, in fact, let's not forget, because, I mean, when we talk about people who, everybody there? Okay. If someone trying to call me during the day, you know that you should not be, whoever this is, hold on a minute. I don't want to answer their call because they should know by now that for the past, what, Janet, 6 years, we've been broadcasting live at 6 p.m. They should know by now, you never call my damn number right now.
Right.
So that's nothing to ask.
Right.
But anyway, that's how come I didn't answer it. But the thing is that the reality is that we are all human. We make mistakes. No one is perfect. Right?
Right.
As you just said, Coretta forgave Martin. Right?
Okay.
Correct.
And if you think about the fact that, but here's the thing that gets me, is though, when you can't at least admit that you did wrong, and everybody knows you did wrong, now you're a total asshole. If you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar, hell, take your hand out the damn thing. It's going to be sore if someone slams the lid on it. But at least that soreness, you can kind of like make it heal by being honest. But you got people now that stand strong on the fact that, yeah, my hand was in the cookie jar, but you didn't see me eat the cookie. Think about it.
And, you know,
I reached for that cookie, but you didn't see me eat it. Come on, man. All right, okay. So I'm really trying not to go off the topic here because this is all coming up. But I was looking for Ron Jones to be on because since he's coach Ron Jones and him being into the sport, he's also a co-host now. Where is Ron at? But last week we talked about the NFL. And I have to go back to the board again and make sure I open up the mics so I see that there are folks that are definitely chiming in. We talked about the NFL, and we talked about the fact that there's only one black coach after this season. We talked about the fact that there are a bunch of people trying to buy a particular team, which is the team, the Denver Broncos. Now they want, and I can't remember the brother's name, but you know the richest black man in America is that. You all know who he is?
No.
Look it up. Okay, I have to Google it again. He's the one who paid, yep, he paid for everybody's tuition at Morehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
He's the richest black man in America. Yes, he is. And according to an article that I just read the other day, the NFL is really pushing him to buy the Denver Broncos. Over Peyton Manning, they are like, please buy this team. Based on the fact that the NFL has had a lot of issues, as we already talked about last week, of how come there's so many owners, how come there's 70% of the players are black, coaching down to one, head coach. It really don't look good, does it?
Mm-mm.
For America's number one game, and believe me, football is America's, forget hot dogs, baseball, and apple pie. Football is America's number one game. I don't care what they tell you. It is. What other sport that, when it comes down to the championship, they spend 6 freaking hours before kickoff, before the first pitch, before anything, 6 hours prepping you to watch that show or that game. The NBA championship don't do 6 hours. This Sunday, the day before, Valentine's Day, they got 6 hours. Some networks even have more. They're going to show you some old clips and everything, and there are some diehard NFL fans who will stay up for 6 hours in front of that TV and watch it all.
Right. Hey, Mike, Robert F. Smith, he's the one that donated $34 million to the colleges to pay for tuition.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody really even know about Robert F. Smith.
Right. I remember seeing the video when he announced that he was doing that, and those kids went crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They were cool. They went nuts. They were like, are you kidding me?
Mm-mm-mm.
But, you know, there's so much black history and everything that's going on that folks don't know nothing about. That everybody that happens right before us, and I'm not surprised that people didn't know about this guy. They just put out about the black military school that was over in Virginia. It was one of the, and it was the other one was the St. Francis for the women. They were both black, all male black schools that some of the best and brightest people came out of, and some of the women. So I think it's great that we have more of, because there's some really good history. And to answer your question about the football,
It's a privately owned business. These guys are private owners. And, yes, they do not care about hiring black people. Just call it what it is. They don't care about hiring head coaches. If they did, it would be done. They know, you know, that there are experienced black coaches. We've already had a black coach win the Super Bowl. Matter of fact, we had two black coaches in the Super Bowl against each other. Okay? We've proven ourselves. We had to, you know, we've done everything. They, the only reason why they would even invest in black people because they can make money off of them. Only reason why they let Jackie Robinson play baseball.
Amen.
They wanted to the further. They wanted to. They wanted to. They knew they could make money off black folks. They knew how good brothers were. They wanted to get ahead and get that money. Same with football, basketball. Only the dumb rednecks bought into the racial part of it. Okay, but you got to see the rich keep them in play. And Martin Luther King said that about rich, about how your oppressor keeps you hanging on only because he shows you that you're the same color as he is. But other than that, he cares nothing about you. And that's why white folks are still hanging on. They've been getting their pockets picked for years. And they
you're 100% right. But the thing is that we're, if we go back and remember, the owner of the Clippers, Sterling, when he was caught on audio tape saying some very derogatory things about his players, about black people in general, remember him?
Yep.
And he was forced. Now, he was forced to sell that team. Now, let's back up again. Keep in mind, everyone who's listening, and if you're not paying attention, remember, there is only one NFL team that is not privately owned, and that is the Green Bay Packers. All these other teams are owned by billionaires. And when I say billion, I mean with a B. Look at the money they make off of not just the players alone, but off of the networks to do the games. When people, and I said this last week and I say it again, it pisses me off when folks say, oh, I don't like that sport. I don't like the fact these guys are getting millions and millions of dollars. I'm like, do you realize that their boss are billionaires? You talk about millions? These guys are doing the work. They're the ones who's running up and down the court or up and down the field. And you mad about them making millions. Think about the guy who's sitting there in the press box. I'm sorry, not the press box, in the suite. Drinking whatever, eating filet mignon, whatever he wants. And I'm sorry to say it this way, but it is a form of plantation type situation. It's kind of a plantation type thing because we know these owners have more money than I mean, they could pay off the damn deficit. They could pay the deficit. But hell, this is the world we live in, entertainment. And if you can get that buck to run up and down the field, and if he breaks his neck, oh, well, he'll get a pension.
Mike, I've been listening to the 1619 Project, as well as I've been reading Death of a King about Martin Luther King last year. And let me tell you, what you just said reminds me of when they said in the 1619 Project how they created blackface and how the white man would go and look at, you know, different black people. Like Jim Crow came from an old man that this white dude watched and created this character. But what was crazy was when the white dude was sick one day and he couldn't do his show, his blackface show, so he hired him a black man. And he
Hello.
Said, well, we don't want you to be black, but you need to play. You need to do it like I do. Wait a minute, I am black. Yeah, but you ain't black like we black. You got this
I want you to be black in blackface.
Yes, a boss.
That's how crazy this is. You know, and they've taken that into a character, and they tried to say this is who we are. And
mm-hmm.
this is who we are. That's why you get people, when you see them smiling all the time, they call you a sellout because they had you cheesing and acting a fool. That's what they, but they don't understand. Those are just people being happy. That doesn't mean you're a sellout. You know, that's just, you know, just educated brothers and sisters who are, you know, that just, you know, once you get that education, you don't think like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Your outlook changes because you have more knowledge of what's going on mm-hmm. in the world. You're not thinking like everybody else. It gives you a better perspective, you know. And so when I look at the situation, should they hire black coaches? Yes. But like they said on television, a couple of guys said they don't have to. And you're not going to make them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not concerned that you're not happy about it.
You know, another this is not about the football, but like burning the governors, wanting to ban books, get rid of books, you know, because they don't want to hurt a white child's feelings. What about the minority children's feelings? You know.
Well, I'll tell you, Janet, let me tell you something. They don't want to mess with that 1619 project. You got
to
have a
strong I mentioned that book. Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, if you don't want to deal with, but they don't want to deal with no black history. They want, I'm saying American history. They don't even call it black
mm-hmm.
history. Just
mm-hmm.
call it flat
American
history. Mm-hmm. You don't want to touch it. You don't want to mess with it because let me tell you, when it start getting deep, you're going to run. You ain't got to worry.
No.
You feel uncomfortable. They tell me, like you said, white folks are uncomfortable. To know
mm-hmm.
that from 1850, from 1877, I think it was, to 1950, they lent 4,000 to 5,000 black folks. Come on, man.
Yeah. And it was okay because we weren't considered like full human. It was like, what was the percentage? A certain percentage? So we didn't have rights.
You were 3/5 human. That's why Frederick Douglass told Thomas Jefferson, man, y'all hypocrite. How you going to write about democracy and you doing what you're doing? How you going to talk about all this stuff y'all doing and constitutions and morals and values and y'all lynching people? And you got people in bondage and you want to hang on to slavery. Come on, man. Y'all not making sense.
Right, but now I'm glad that you brought that up. But the things that, as I said, we're going to stay on point on it because there's so much that is intertwined, for lack of a better term, it's intertwined and it's still going on today. I will have to change gears here because when you talk about businesses and everything, which we were just talking about the NFL last week, we're talking about it this week, and anybody who's on the line, if you have any questions or comments, if you're on the network through the internet, go ahead and post your questions or comments there. I'll read them on the air. If you're on the board, hit the number 1 so I can open up your mic and you can share your questions or comments, okay? I have already said many a times that I'm really amazed, sometimes amused, at how we as black people, and I really call ourselves, I really call us out sometimes because here on the show, we talk about topics and situations, we're aware of it, but we see it's the same process, but in a different form. Do you realize that even right now, here is a new case that just happened within the last few weeks, another Ahmaud Arbery type case where an individual who works for FedEx was delivering a package in full uniform. Now, you know, some companies do rent trucks. FedEx rents some Hertz trucks, Ryder trucks, you know, they're low on trucks. So they get a known brand. And this gentleman went to deliver a package, and he was basically attacked by a father and son,
again. This shit just happened, you guys. Again. Mm-hmm. And it took days before these individuals were arrested. I want you to go ahead and Google it right now, if you can. Google the story. FedEx driver shot at.
Yeah, father and son accused of shooting a suspicious person, a FedEx delivery driver.
Sorry, I dropped something. But right, suspicious? Doing mm-hmm. his everyday job? His everyday job?
Mm-mm-mm.
And then FedEx
and what's the,
should
and
be
what's
appealing.
State was that, Mike?
Where was
that,
Jen? It was in, I think it was. It wasn't Florida. The Florida already has, and Minnesota already has enough shit going on. I have to find it again. I have the story page. I'm trying to find it again.
Mississippi.
Mississippi, right. It was Mississippi.
Well.
Oh, well.
Mississippi.
Yep.
You know, hey, now you know that thinking down there, boy. Woo.
Mm-hmm.
You deal with a whole different brand of brother and white man down there. You know. Yeah.
Talking about
that's
that.
Bad in Georgia. See, they got a history too.
Oh yeah.
But they're saying
yeah.
he don't. They're saying he's on unpaid leave at that.
The driver
exactly.
on unpaid leave.
Unpaid leave. And then if you listen to, I mean, if you listen to the story that was told, it's the fact that where this man was shot at, when they told him, in fact, here's the same scenario that happened with Ahmaud Arbery. They tried to flag him down to stop. Off the heels of Ahmaud Arbery, this young man was smart enough to be like, oh, I ain't stopping for shit. He dodged the one guy. And kept on driving. They get in the
mm-hmm.
truck and they chase him and started shooting. And then they started shooting at his vehicle, which the bullets are going to be shown that they did strike the vehicle numerous times. But when he went to the police station, the way the police treated him, oh, and lo and behold, the chief of police is black.
And he showed he had bullet holes in his van, you know?
No, that's what I was saying, right. But the chief of police, and this is not a racist town, what is that? I mean, really? You should have kept your damn mouth.
And then wait, you know, somebody
you know,
said,
you know,
did you do
Janet,
anything
Janet,
to make them mad?
Well, I've always been told that it's best to keep your mouth shut to be thought as a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. And that's what that chief of police just did. You're going to say this is not a resistance. You're talking about a southern state, a small town like this? You're going to tell me this is not racist? They thought he looked suspicious in his full uniform?
Mm-hmm.
What, he went and found or stole a FedEx uniform and a Hertz truck
mm-hmm.
to go rob somebody? Is that what you're trying to tell me? That these perpetrators or these possible killers, because see, they have not been charged for attempted murder. They've been charged for assault. That should be attempted murder. Because they shot the man when he was fleeing, or shot at him while he was fleeing. That's attempted murder. In my opinion, you can think
mm-hmm.
of it another way. But off the heels of Ahmaud Arbery, and I don't believe that a father and son, again, same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Black man in the neighborhood, and he ain't jogging, he's delivering. He's delivering packages. That's his freaking job. What the hell does the mayor say? What does the chief say?
Yeah.
The ignorance is ridiculous. And I do believe in this the defense, I'm sorry, the prosecutor and his team made it very clear, this shit will not be unnoticed. They didn't say the word shit, I said it. But they definitely, I mean, they definitely have a serious case here, and we have to really open up our eyes to what's going on here in America, in our communities. We always want to say, or many folks say, I never thought that would happen here. I never thought, look at Minnesota, all the stuff that's going on in Minnesota. After the murder of George Floyd, hell, there's even more coming. More. Look at the guy. In fact, you guys think I'm joking. I always said, I don't watch these shows like Real Housewives of Atlanta or Real Housewives. That's all scripted, okay? The producers tell them, you guys got to make it like, you know, you really hate each other and everything. That's script. They might have some animosity, but they know how to, you know, tone it down for the TV. And there's people who sit up there and watch that shit religiously every freaking day. Mm-hmm. Me, personally, I watch court TV. That's not scripted, because that's real court cases, real trials. All right? That's real. That's live. You see a judge, as Janet, as you said, looks like he favored Rittenhouse on this when he debated with the prosecutor. And many other folks said the judge went on the side of the defense and really stifled the prosecution. Right?
Yes, definitely.
And you learn a lot from looking at real court cases, because every state is not the same. The laws are different from state to state, depending on what the charge is. But for me, I look at it where, and I'm going to shut the hell up and let you guys chime in, but for me, it's interesting to look at this stuff, because now we're looking at the popcorn murder trial. The popcorn murder trial, where this former officer shot and killed a man in a movie theater because he threw popcorn on him, threw his bag of popcorn at him. The man, the elderly man, who is now, what, Janet, 71 years old, shot the 40 or 30-something-year-old guy to death in the movie theater in front of his wife and the victim's wife. Because why? He was texting the babysitter. He wasn't talking on the phone. He was texting on the phone. It took 8 years for this trial to begin, which will start Monday. 8 years. For texting on your phone in a movie theater. What the hell is going on? And he wants to do, he was standing his ground because the man threw a bag of popcorn. You got to be careful what you do out here in this world now, because people are that stupid, that ignorant. And unfortunately, some people get away with that type of bullshit. Not saying he will. Like I said, the trial starts Monday. You got a woman who's going to court now for the murder of her boyfriend, zipped up in a suitcase. How the hell he allowed himself to get zipped up in a suitcase, I don't know. But he suffocated to death. And they got her on audio because she videotaped his ass in the suitcase. You see the suitcase moving around. And him pleading for her to open up the suitcase. He can't breathe. And her comment was this: now you know how I feel when you cheated on me. This, you can't make this shit up. You can't make it up. It's real. Peterson, the officer who killed the young man, the unarmed young man, her, as far as her, when it comes down to sentencing her, comes up this week. And don't forget that the George Floyd trial is not over with, because the other three officers are in federal court, which they don't show you that because that's federal. How can they hide that shit? How come we can't watch that? But that's going on. And then there's two other officers who are going to court because of during the protest, they violated other individuals' rights. You didn't know about that, right? It's an ongoing process. Ongoing. And as they solve one thing that we think, okay, it's over with, no, there's more to this. There's more.
Mm.
I'm quiet. Anybody has a comment? I'm just being
well, you kind of said it all.
Yeah. I guess so. But we have to really pay attention. That's like I always said, that we will follow up on this show when these type of things come about. And unfortunately, the media, the mainstream or any media really don't follow up on it. It becomes a national issue, a national outcry. But who's following up on all this? None of them. None of them are following up. And they need to.
Right. Especially when they say stand your ground. You know, I can see if somebody's trying to really hurt you, but for somebody just to throw some popcorn and you're going to shoot and hurt somebody because of popcorn. You know, people have become so emboldened since somebody got in office. They think they can say whatever, whenever, however, you know, and it's got to stop being one-sided. We have too many.
When you say somebody that got in office, are those initials DT?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Okay. But, you know, this has been going on before DT got in office. All he did, he just made it more inflammatory. He just made it more prevalent, more open, you know, because otherwise we would not have had a January 6th. Okay.
Yeah, he tapped into what people were already thinking, and he just made them more emboldened. That's all.
What's going on, man? You know, this all of a sudden everybody's so scared. Hell, I just just got my last $2. I didn't shoot his ass, although I felt like him getting my last $2 off me as I'm at the gas station. But, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, brother, okay, man. You know, but it's just that people are living, especially white folks, you know, they're always talking about fear, fear, fear. That's the only thing that sells them. You ain't got to do much. Just sell them fear that they're going to be gone, and then they're done. Okay? The fear that somebody going to take their daughter, the fear that they're going to lose their job, or the world is ending, or pedophiles and at a pizza joint. Everybody's always worried about, but, you know, black folks been dealing with this for years. That's why they don't want you to talk about history, because the history will show who the savages truly were. Who were the most brutal, ruthless, murderous people on this planet? That white boy. He sure did. And he did it in the 90s. He did it 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, 20th century. He's been doing it. 21st
century.
Mm-hmm. 21st century. And ain't nobody cutting. And you call him out on it, he get all butthurt. He want to feel discomfort. Oh, remember the boy got shot because he had his music too loud at the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the white man shot him? They locked his ass up. That's the dumbest move in the world. But that comes from you not believing or you not valuing human beings. You don't, not only you don't value a black man or a black woman, you don't value humans, period.
Mm-mm.
That's like I always say, Mike, freedom ain't for everybody. Everybody don't deserve to be free. And that's why we got prisons,
right.
Because every time you can't control your own personal demons, your own personal issues, and you're blaming somebody else for your problems, you need to go to prison. You need to go to jail.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let me say this real quick. I know on the flyer it said that Cotton Campbell will be coming up at the top of the hour. I'm going to give us another 10, 15 minutes. Cotton, is that all right with you? Hello?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I want to switch gears here, because since we were talking about this, we mentioned the popcorn trial, which I'm sure many people don't know about this. Again, I'll say that if you watch Court TV, if you have access to it, I mean, that's really my favorite channel. As I said, it's not the media. It's not where they're, you know, sharing stuff with you that's not real or not true. These are real court cases. These are real murders. These are real verdicts. These are real defendants. These are real victims. So Monday, the movie Popcorn Murder Trial, after 8 years, they're finally going to take this former officer to court and find him guilty or not. Then when we were talking about, which I'm going to get back into the Super Bowl in a minute, but the no-knock warrant. There have been so many people killed due to no-knock warrants. Katherine Johnson here in Atlanta, Georgia, I think she was like, what, 80, 82, 83, right, Janet? Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Who lived in a very small area, been living in her home for many of years, lost her husband, been living there peacefully for many of years. The neighbor says she was the sweetest person you ever would meet. And due to an informant, somehow the information got wrong and the cops went to the wrong house and went into this woman's house. Now, this woman had a gun. The hell, at 80-something years old, you damn right, I'm going to have a gun. I'm single.
92,
in my own
Michael.
Home.
92.
I'm sorry. I thought it was 82. 92 years old, please. I'm going to have a gun registered, locked, and loaded, ready for a perpetrator to try to break into my home. But I don't expect the police to come to my house and knock down my damn door. And we do know stories about individuals who act like they're law enforcement, dressed in black, and breaking the homes and rob folks because they think they're the police. We've heard those stories. But now here's a new one. A young man who was asleep on the couch, and I believe this was in Minnesota again. The cops don't break in. They have a key. The video shows you, unlock the door. The cop's own body cam showed him, put the key in the lock, open up the door, go in and yell, please, search warrant, please. This young man is dead asleep. His family even said, hey, he's always been a hard sleeper. He wakes up, yes, he grabs his gun. You know what I mean? Because he's like a scary one. He don't know who the hell is breaking into the house. And when I think about it, I'm thinking, me personally, I would think, who the hell got into the house? The door was locked. I didn't hear nobody kick the door in. I didn't get no warning that, you know, someone's kicking in the door going, please, open up. Boom. No. All of a sudden, I'm waking up and there's folks putting guns at me.
Well, you don't knock or say police open up with a no-knock warrant.
No,
I didn't think you did.
No, but I'm just saying, with a knock, there's a difference, right?
But here's the thing, though. I'm saying is this. Initially, it was supposed to have been a not warrant, and it was requested to be a no knock. Now, here's the thing, and again, I don't want to throw you guys off track a little bit. I just want to give you a chance to go and take a look at the story if you don't know about it. This young man was not the person they were looking for. He was not the person they were looking for. He just happened to be at that apartment. In fact, they had warrants for 3 apartments in the same complex. But here's the thing. Somehow, their investigation or their surveillance was botched.
The person they were looking for was his cousin.
His cousin, right. So if you're following the cousin, and the cousin wasn't in the house, there were 2 other individuals. But they knew of 3 units in that complex that they possibly could have been in, correct? Or the cousins could have been in. I think it was like unit 702, 701, and some other one. But still, again, this young man is asleep on the living room couch. And he wakes up to them busting in, and I'm pretty sure they thought it was the suspect, and he reaches for his gun, which he has the right to. He has the right as a gun owner to reach for his gun. He's waking out of his sleep. He don't know who the fuck that is. Excuse my language. And I'm sorry, I do cuss sometimes in the show. Busting into the door. Yelling cops. Police. And it's just open firing. Whose fault is that?
Mm.
Somebody said, I was talking to a person, and they said, well, when they came in, he should have not even reached for his gun. I'm like, no, look at the scenario. And it was a white person I was talking to. I said, see, you're not black. You don't understand the fact that we're, as a black man, and you have the right to have a firearm, and you don't expect anybody, and you know you are not guilty of anything, yes, you're going to defend yourself because you don't know who the hell that is coming through your door. If you are a criminal, you should expect that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This young man was a criminal. As a criminal, you should expect at any given time your door will get opened up, kicked in, whatever. But as an innocent person, you're thinking, this is a perpetrator breaking into my home. I'm going to defend myself. Think about that.
Mm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Each and every one of you, I'm pretty sure you're not. I'm pretty sure none of you, I would believe, none of you have ever been to the point of you have a felony, you wanted, ever been arrested in those, you know what I'm saying, ever had any kind of serious. If I was a felon or if I was wanted, I would expect that, and I would know better. Don't grab the gun because they know I'm wanted. I know I'm wanted, right? I know I broke the law. Don't grab your gun, Mike. They know about you. Don't reach. But if you're innocent and you haven't committed no crime, and all of a sudden here comes some folks busting in your house, what are you going to do? Look at the couple who went out on their front porch waving their guns in front of folks who were marching down the street. Black Lives Matter. They're pointing guns at folks who are on the street, not on their property. We were in fear of our lives. Hello, Timon. Remember you said that? We were in fear of our lives. We're on the street. They ain't got no weapons. They ain't pointing no guns at you. But you sure as hell did the same thing. I mean, you did that to them. Hello. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I'm going to shut up now and let everybody else chime in.
I think you said it all, Michael.
Nobody has a comment? What do you think? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and pass the torch over to 909-732. They waved their hand. Maybe they heard what I said, and they might have a comment on it. 909-732, welcome to the TMGS. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Suzette. I've called in before. And
Suzette.
Yeah. what a good topic. Excellent. And it should be discussed because, in my opinion, I think even as a criminal, you shouldn't expect anybody to be coming knocking down your door. We're supposedly having a justice system where you're supposed to be treated. They have evidence to prove you're guilty, and they need to go about it the correct way, the legal way, with a warrant. This no-knock
right.
warrant business is BS. It doesn't matter
mm-hmm.
who you are. You are supposed to be treated fairly under the law. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter if you're a criminal or not. In your own property, and your privacy, you're supposed to have rights to be protected under that. You should be able to go into your home and feel safe without anybody busting down any doors, period. Doesn't matter who you are, rich, poor, whatever color, you know, it doesn't matter. That's
mm-hmm.
how the law's supposed to work. But unfortunately,
yes,
it's gotten so out of hand that we have this no-knock warrant business, which is Gestapo-like, because they come busting down doors. It's a no-win situation, whether you're a criminal or a civilian, innocent civilian with a legal firearm in your home. You have a right to protect yourself, whether you're a criminal or a legal gun owner. It doesn't matter. It's your property, and they have
right.
to get a warrant. Well, they used to be anyway. Have to have that
well,
warrant. So, yeah.
But I agree with you 1,000%. But here's the sad truth about it. It is more so in the African-American community. It really is. I have not heard, and if you can pull up anything, please do, and share with me, because that's one thing. I have not heard of anyone complaining of or any stories of anyone of any other of white or anything of being victims of no-knock warrants and someone being killed. Breonna Taylor was murdered based on the no-knock warrant, looking for her ex-boyfriend, not the boyfriend that she had at the time, but her ex-boyfriend. Correct me if I'm wrong, Janet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
You're right.
And no one, now the officer, there's an officer who's going to go to court, which is going to show up on court TV. I keep telling you guys, watch that shit. He's going to go to court because of the fact that when he shot her, his bullet went into another tenant's apartment. Reckless endangerment is what he's going to be charged with and probably a few other things. But not for the killing of her. No one is going to be prosecuted for, I call a murder of an innocent individual. She had nothing to do with what her ex-boyfriend did. There's no evidence she was involved in any kind of – there's some speculations now. Somebody else I know on another show said, oh, yeah, well, her ex-boyfriend – keep in mind the word – the key thing is ex. She wasn't dating that guy, and that guy was not at that house. But she lost her life. She lost her life. And she was in law enforcement. And no
I thought you worked for like the EMT as an EMT for a while.
I'm sorry. She was a first responder. Still.
There you go.
She was a lifesaver. And she lost her life. Okay, so she was a lifesaver. But she lost her life based on botched information. Which goes back to what you said. No knock warrants. I don't agree with Now, there are individuals, in fact, I'm not going to call them out, but there are individuals who are sitting back listening, who work in law enforcement. I'd like for them to chime in and share what their opinions are about that. I do agree to a certain extent that when it comes to certain situations, no, you don't want the bad guy to know that you're coming. I get that. But at what level? If this is a person that is has a warrant for a murder, no, I don't want anybody to get harmed or killed, an innocent, no children at all. But that individual comes in and out. It's just like I was reading a story, and in fact, there was a person who said, even on court TV, the Waco, Texas situation didn't have to go down because they had plenty of opportunities to arrest David Koresh before that.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, as far as the innocence goes, everybody's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. So even if they were accused of being a murderer, and yes, we don't want murderers on the street, they haven't been proven guilty until they've gone to court and, you know, had their trial. And so at that point, there's the arrest in order to detain them to get them off of the street. Yeah, so there's still no justification for a no-knock warrant. So I agree with you there 100%. And I got some numbers for you that prove your case or prove your point. There's 24 no-knock warrants executed against, what was it, 60? I think it was 66 black community. 64 black
okay.
And 24 white. So, yeah, so it's way higher in the black community. And so, and those are just
those numbers
from,
may not be, right, and those numbers may not be 100% correct. It could be higher on either end. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, that's
it
just for Minnesota that they had on there for last year.
Yeah, but I appreciate that. But the thing is, the numbers
yeah.
could be higher on both ends. They're not going to report every single one of them. You know what I'm saying? That's how it works.
Sure. And that's only just for Minnesota. What part of Minnesota, we don't
mm-hmm.
know. It could just be some small city, and that would still be a high
right.
number.
Exactly.
That's not a nation
exactly.
number. So, yeah, totally. Okay, I'll be
exactly.
quiet.
No, I appreciate that. Hey, you guys, this is a great topic. I want to keep it going, but we do have a guest, and by it being Valentine's Day weekend, it's an honor to have our very own Cotton Campbell join us and share some of her very interesting Valentine's poetry with us. We're going to get into that momentarily, but we're going to definitely get back to this topic next week. All right. Is that cool with everyone? And I see that the board is lit up, and I really do appreciate everyone that's joining the TMGS during this conversation. But I promise you, next week we're going to come back to more of this. Cotton, you there?
Yes, I am.
Cotton. Okay. All right. So we're looking forward to it. And you share some more information about, well, after I play it. So what I really want to do is just do a quick music break. And I'm trying to find a track. Okay? You guys, please bear with me. I'm trying to find a track, this particular track, because this is one of Cotton's favorite artists. So I want to make her smile before we get into this. And I'm scrolling. I'm not scrolling fast enough, I guess. But I'm scrolling to find the track. And I think I got it. Oh, okay, here it is. All right. So without further ado, you guys, let's take a quick break. Let you guys go ahead and relax for a moment. Take a breather. Get ready for the next segment of the show with our special guest. And see, you know, Janet, when you were saying how the board was acting crazy or you couldn't call in, or you having issues trying to get in, it's giving me an issue on my end. So I'm going to have to call Blog Talk and formal complaint, you know. Maybe they're doing this on purpose,
nice.
So I have to spend more money and upgrade. But anyway, hey, you guys, you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. I'm your host, Michael Gay, with my co-host, Janet Pollock Hawkins-Davis. also, the one and only Mr. Time and Ship is here. And, of course, our next guest, our special guest, who is also a co-host, Cotton Campbell. We'll be right back after this short music break. Back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That was, you know what? I'm not going to say it. I'm going to let Cotton tell you who that was. Cotton, who was that?
That was one of my favorites. That was O'Brien. I was over here. I was like, oh, he know me so well. O'Brien, yes. He should have been my husband in another life.
Amen.
That was O.B. We lovingly we call him O.B., O'Brien. And by the way, we've had him on the show not once but twice, 1 hour the first time, 2 hours the second time. Along with hosting that show was Miss Karen White, the CEO of what's the name of the label? It's on the tip of my tongue. Supernova. And by the way, they just finished doing a song together. They've known each other for years. They performed together. But they've never done a song together. So they just finished in studio doing a track. So looking forward to hearing that soon. So that
is about time.
Yeah, that's O'Brien. Some of you guys be like, O'Brien. Okay, so for you young folks who don't know, and some of you older folks, O'Brien's had many hits. The Gigolo, Love Light. The remake of Stevie Wonder's classic You and I, which almost got close to the same sales as Stevie's original. But O'Brien, yeah. Awesome, vocalist, awesome composer, arranger, great guy. So looking forward to him joining us soon in the not-too-distant future again on the TMGS. All right, without further ado, you guys, this young lady here, I am so glad to have her on because I've checked out her book. I've checked out she sent me some of her creative work. And I'll say it again. If you got children around, okay, just have them kind of like that. It's not that explicit. But it definitely will make you feel good this Valentine's Day weekend, okay? You fellas, you know, check it out. The ladies, too. Check it out. Please put your hands together. Everybody on the board, please put your hands together and welcome my co-host, our special guest, award-winning poet, Miss Cotton Jumbo. Hurt me, baby, hurt me. Make me write bad checks.
Oh. Cotton, I've been waiting for this over 30 minutes ago.
I just want Michael to know that's why we was all quiet. Nobody was saying
yeah.
Anything. Like, look, when we going to get to Cotton Campbell?
Thank you.
Well, welcome. Please, for all the people who don't know who Cotton Campbell is, you know your TMGS family do know, but please share with all the listeners, who is Cotton Campbell?
Oh, my God. Cotton Campbell is scared, timid little girl, shy, quiet, soft-spoken, turned woman who's very confident and courageous, doesn't mind speaking her mind, woman, poet, author, self-published author, performing poet, mom of four, you know, and a co-host of TMGS, which I'm so honored to be a part of, and a member of the Justice Center in Kansas City, Missouri, and the just a great person altogether. She's a good person. She's a great person to have in your corner.
Amen.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I am so glad to share with everyone that is true. You are a great person. You've been in my corner ever since. You've been a co-host. Contrary to many thoughts, a lot of folks ask me, Michael, how do you get so many great guests on your show and everything? I've had some great guests, but you know what? It's not just me. It's been a combination of Janet and I have gotten a lot of great guests, but ever since Cotton has joined the TMGS, She has brought some great, legendary, unbelievable guests. When she would call me, hey, Michael, how would you like to have Reggie Calloway on the show? I'm like, huh? Reggie Calloway? The writer, producer, midnight star, Reggie Calloway? I've been trying to get him on for 2 years, and you got him in a matter of 2 weeks. I'm serious. I'm serious.
All right. That's our girl.
I guess it's something in your voice, I guess. You know. So you guys, if you have a radio show and you want to guess, get a Cotton Campbell, okay, to get them on your show.
Write that down. Get a Cotton Campbell.
Get a Cotton Campbell to make that connection for you. It took me 2 years. Cotton did it in 2 weeks. I ain't lying. That's the truth. So, you're a poet, and we're going to get into your material really quickly because we don't want to run out of time, but some of your stuff and let everyone hear it. What made you get into writing and doing poetry before we hear the first one? And then I want you to pick out which one you want us to play first and let folks listen to it. And then give us a little response on what influenced you to write that particular story. But how did you get into poetry?
So as a child, I was very shy. I always thought, like, I talk like this. Can I get what? And so people would not hear me. They would, because they couldn't hear me. And I would get upset, of course. But that came from being molested and not knowing how to communicate to anybody in your family that this thing is happening to you. And so even in school, I was just a very quiet, you know, good kid in school. So one day I'm sitting there and I'm watching Oprah, and she says, write down your thoughts and things that you're thinking, tear them up and throw them out into the universe. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try that. So I wrote down stuff, but when I started writing, it turned into something different. The first one I wrote and I did what she said, but then I started writing because I had a lot to say. And so I'm writing and I was like, okay, this is turning into poetry. So I tried it at church, and this was years ago. And they weren't really receptive, but I didn't step back for a minute and I started writing again prior to me getting on Facebook. And then I started sharing on Facebook and people started noticing and wanting to know when I was going to publish a book and things like that. And I was like, well, I hadn't thought about doing that. I'm just trying to get my thoughts out because no one's listening to me. Right. You know, even after I told my mother I was molested, she didn't respond. She didn't react. She said nothing. I became angry with her. I became angry with her because it was a family member. And she didn't do anything about it, so I didn't feel protected. And so I felt like I needed to figure out how to protect myself at 13. I'm trying to figure out how to protect myself. And it went from there. So, you know, that was the turning point for me to now protect myself. And as I go forward, I got to protect me because nobody else is. Not thinking about God at the time, but thinking about the physical people who God put in charge to make sure that I was okay. And these people aren't protecting me. And I couldn't really be I was angry with my mother, but my mother was going through physical abuse at home, so it was a little difficult. And I don't think she knew how, because she was molested as a kid, and she didn't know how to. So after a while, I wasn't angry with her anymore. And probably 5 years before she passed away, she called me one day and said, I want to apologize to you. And I said, apologize to me for what? She said, because I didn't do anything. And I said, you know what, Mommy, I forgave you for that a long time ago. We're good. We're good. We're good. So this is how my writing started. because of the things that I was going through, and I couldn't share them with a friend, so I would just write them down.
That's interesting, because as you were speaking, I'm thinking of another individual that I know that she had shared with me about, you know, what she went through and the lack of communication with the parent of what was going on, and which is going to be another topic on the show later on, because I shared with you before, you know, you and I have talked about, you know, the missing children and everything, of where the parents are responsible for the missing children, you know. But here's something that you have to deal with. And so you put it into writing. But now what we're going to listen to, and I want you to pick out which one you want me to play first. This is very sensual. extremely sensual. I didn't know how to rate the show, if I wanted to make it PG-13 or really long. I wasn't sure. I was like, do you guys have a cross reference here? But which one would you like to play first? And then once we play it, I want you to come back and tell us what brought you to write that and what were you thinking at the time when you wrote it, or maybe who you were thinking of. Which one do you want me to play first?
I've gotten good feedback, a lot of great feedback, let me rephrase, on Stalkerish.
You know what? I'm not going to say nothing on that one, but that's interesting. Fellas, listen closely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this very closely because, yeah, this one was really my favorite because I'm like, wow, that's deep. Hey, you guys, we're going to listen to Cotton Campbell, award-winning poet and author, and he is Stalkerish.
He should never have said hello to me, because this is what happens when he did. I want to know what it's like to lay next to you and think of nothing. I want to know what it's like to watch you sleep. I want to know how many times your heart beats while you dream, if you snore while you sleep, if you think of me when you breathe. I want to peek at you while you shower. I want to steal your towel, hide in your closet just to be close to you. I want to peek through your window, sneak out your back door, hide in your car, be wherever you are. Spray your cologne on parts of my body, because I need to have you with me at all times. You won't call the police because you enjoy my crazy. You need to feel needed. Somehow you feel completed. Because she hasn't been feeding and she don't even know that you're needing. I peek through your window, I stare when I see you. I hang out under your bed just to be near you. I sleep in your clothes and nobody knows my secret. Breakfast is ready for you to eat even though you're still asleep. You don't know for sure if it's even me, but you know I'm something you need. I'm your stalker. And I'm never too far away. Stalkerish. Softly spoken.
Cotton Campbell with Stalkerish. Keep in mind, I said that's Cotton Campbell with Stalkerish.
Stalkerish.
So what brought you to write that? Because that, I mean, you know, that is a reality now.
Yes. So, and I didn't want to offend anybody who's been stalked and it's turned really dangerously ugly for them.
Right.
But I have been stalked, and I've had people on my page telling me they're going to come to my house, So this is why you never know exactly where I am. Like, people will try to figure it out, but I don't. I typically, if I post something, unless if it's not an event, like if I'm eating, I'm probably not there anymore. I've already left for a reason, because I don't want anybody just pulling up on me, because there are some people out there who get infatuated with you, and I've gotten people who've gotten infatuated with me from my writing, and they say things, you know, they send little things in my inbox and things like that. So I was stalked in real life, where this guy kept coming to my door, and I called the security of the property, and they thought it was a lover's quarrel, but I didn't know this person, and I told them that. And so one of the guys who came, he said, look, I'm going to need you to just use, he said, this knife you can carry, it won't get you in any trouble, but if he comes to your door again, then you can use it on him. And I said, okay, I this is crazy. I shouldn't be. I got kids and, you know, things like that. And it was, and this was before I started even writing. So I I've seen some stories, some real life stories where people have been stalked. And so I didn't want it to be ugly. But then there's, and I said, there's the other side of being stalked, where you want the attention of somebody, but you don't want a relationship with them. But you want them to know that you kind of peeking at them, and they cute, and how about I come fix you something to eat? But I don't care if you have a girlfriend. I just want you to know that I exist. And if she messes up, you still got me.
Amen.
Okay.
I wanted to turn it into something more loving and more sensual, as you said. Sensual sexy is what I titled my. When I write like that, it's sensual sexy. It's not nasty, but it's sensual sexy.
No. I have to admit, yeah. It's not a vulgar in any way, but it is sensually sexy, and that's what I really appreciate about what you've written and what you shared. Wow, that's pretty deep. I had a caller had their hand up, and I don't see them. At the moment, but if you guys, we have about maybe 20 minutes, actually not quite 20, about maybe 15 minutes left before I have to come to show that. If you have any questions or comments for our guest, our co-host, Ms. Cotton Campbell, and we're going to get into more of her her poetry, please hit the number one before we run out of time, and post your questions or comments. Okay, so what do you want us to hear now? Since we heard stalkerish, I like that. But you have a few more. What's the next one you want us to listen to and then share with us the meaning behind these words?
So let me do something a little bit different, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And I'll just do a little, I'm going to do a little snippet of this piece. You don't have this in your thing because I've not recorded it yet. I haven't recorded it as an MP3, I should say.
Okay.
It's called Truth, and I'm just going to do a little piece of it for time's sake.
Okay,
last night I cried, tossed and turned, woke up with dry eyes, my mind was racing, feet were pacing, Lord help me, please tell me what I have gotten into, ran my 3 miles to clear my mind, it always helps me out, it's my therapy when I'm losing it, which is usually, hey. I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Loving you ain't nothing healthy. Loving you was never good for me. But I can't get off. So I asked him, are you seeing someone else? Wait, before you reply, don't lie, because I can see right through all that Maybelline. Your lips are covered in her plum lipstick. Her foundation, cocoa brown, is smudged into your collar, and it's not my color, because I don't wear that cake on my face. My womanly sisters have picked up on your GPS and dialed into your radar. The tracking device not installed on your car, but it's pressed on your heart, which tells me where we are emotionally. These findings aren't to put you down, attack your character, or to make you look bad, but for you to recognize that the woman that stands right here before you, well, she's smarter than the average. Look, I love you, but I deserve some honesty. So don't get mad. Don't take it personally. You're a man. This is grown-up conversation. Besides, it's mentally stimulating. And if you want this, you'll listen. No disrespect intended. So don't clam up when I say we need to talk, because it tells me that you're guilty and you've done something wrong and you believe I know your secret and your truth. You decided to take away my choice. But listen to my soft-spoken voice when I say, you're going to have your cake, eat it, emotionally abuse it, misuse it. So blow out your candles and be thankful you have a woman like me. Your wish should be that I don't get angry because I hate being relationship confused, as some of you men like to do, then sing the blues and react in ways that you can't handle. As a woman, I can cook, clean, make love, have sex as often as you need, but only if you wife me. Softly spoken.
Wow. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody, please put your hands together and give applause on that one. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And that was just off the rip. You know, you just and this is something that you have not put on a recording yet.
I have not recorded that, but that is out there. It's in one of my books, and it's one of my favorites. And I stopped right there for time's sake because it goes on. But I wrote that piece because how many conversations as women we've had to have with our men, or he's had to sit and listen to her find all the information about him cheating, and he's sitting in front of her saying, no, I'm not. But she's got the information in her hand. So the poem is simply to say, just tell her the truth so y'all can walk away from each other respectfully. And she can, you know, you can walk away with your dignity, and she can still have some respect for you. She may not have liked what you've done, but at least if you're being honest with her, you're not playing on her intelligence. Because nine times out of ten, when a woman says she's caught you cheating, she's probably gathered all of her information. And she's just waiting to bust you out.
Okay, so I just got a text from a listener and a supporter of the TMGS, and I want to thank Charlene in California. Charlene, thank you so much for listening. And here's her question. She asked, what was your process for the first book, especially for one who wants to do this too? Because she wants to do the same thing. So what was your process for, that's it, your process for your first book?
I self-published through Amazon, so all of my stuff can be found on Amazon. But, you know, you have to make sure it's formatted properly, and as long as it's typed out properly in your Word document, and then if you go onto Amazon to do self-publishing, they'll literally walk you through it. It's very simple. You can always call me or inbox me, too, if you need some more detailed information. I love giving out that information because a lot of times people think that they're going to find a publisher, and a publisher is going to pay them X amount of dollars. But there are a lot of people out there now, especially our urban folks, who are charging you $1,000, $2,000, and $3,000 saying, I want to publish your book. That's not how this works. This is my work. Mm-hmm. The last book that I wrote, Why I Broke Up With God, the woman wanted so bad to publish my book, but she wanted to charge me $1,900. I said, I don't know. What are you going to do differently than what I'm doing? I need to see that because Oprah pays people to publish their books. That's not how this is going to work for me. And I advise against it. And I've seen where some of my friends have gotten burned because they paid out $2,500 to somebody, and all they did was the exact same thing that I'm doing now, but their name is on the publishing rights. They're not doing any extra advertising for you. They're not. You got to get like I go to the Black Expos. I go to the events that they have, the fairs and the things like that. I go those places. And I put Chicago has a book printer's row every year where books are put out because people are coming there to specifically buy books. I go to those events and I put my book on the table and I talk to people who tell me I don't read and I talk to people who tell me I don't listen to poetry and they buy my books.
Mm.
So you got to be confident enough in your I love when somebody tells me they don't read. I love when somebody tells me, well, I don't really listen to poetry. Oh, you don't? Well, come over here. Let me talk to you for a second.
You can
let me tell you why you should buy this one, though.
And you know what's so great about what you just said is that where you're sharing with them to let them know that, look, you are wasting a talent or gift is reading. Reading.
Yeah.
Yes, you can go ahead and pick up your phone and Google this and that. But something about a book, reading the actual, because the internet is only going to give you so much, but reading a novel, reading some poetry that is actually written, something that you can own and have in your hand and put it down and not have to search for it again, it's right there. That's interesting. That's a lost, I won't say an art, but a lost gift, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For you to be able to pick up a book and put it down and pick it back up again.
Yeah.
You can always pick up your phone and go search for it again, whatever you saw on the internet. But having it there, you know, that's awesome.
Better.
Yeah.
It's so much better having it in your hand.
To Janet's court, because I think that Janet may have some questions or comments. And everybody who's on the board, I'm looking at the board now. Cotton, this board is full. There are people here listening. For all of you that are listening, before we run out of time, please go ahead and hit the number one if you have a question or comment. I only have about maybe 10 more minutes. I got another question from another, the one who had one before, which is Charlene, a friend in California. But Janet, first, I wanted to give you a chance to go ahead and post your questions or comments.
Yes, Cotton, you not only can do poetry and write books, but you can sing. So, I mean, I was really amazed. I said, you just keep on amazing me every time. You know, I was like, wow. I'm going to buy that book that you have that says Why I Broke Up with God. And I also want to buy the book that says I think it was The Greatest Love. I want to buy those books, but I'm just really, what made you, I'm looking at all the books that you wrote, and one of the things I saw was that you, for as far as the self-help books, you got 3 self-help books. Can you tell us a little bit about those self-help books?
Yes. So the one self-help book, which people really I probably got slapped in the face for this one a couple, not physically, but before they could even read what was on the inside, it was, what 10 reasons why black men stop dating black women?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what? That's just an excuse. No, it's not. Like, it's a serious, like, it's a real thing. If you have a conversation with men, and I talk to some of my male friends, quite a few. I talk to at least 100 male friends, because male people, not all friends, but male people, because I wanted to understand why, because I have 2 brothers who date outside their race, and it doesn't bother me. I don't care who you fall in love with, just be happy. But I heard a black man who was dating me say, because he got caught cheating, he said to me, this is why I don't date black women. And I was like, what? Your mama is black. What are you talking about? Like, who says something like that to another black woman? And you hear black men say this. So I was like, why? So I asked some of my black friends who are with black women. And I said, what would be the reason why you would stop dating a black woman? And everybody, you know, some of them had the same reason and sometimes different reasons. You know, they're too boisterous. You know, some of them are, gold diggers.
I'm sorry,
I'm sorry to
interrupt, but, you know, that's a topic, and I'm glad that you really gave me an in on this, because I definitely want us to have a conversation about interracial dating, and marriage, not just dating, but marriage. Because seeing that we're in a time where there's so much racial divide, what about the people who are in interracial relationships and what's their thoughts and points of view? So I'm really working on that aspect of it because, I mean, my son is in an interracial marriage. My grandchildren are Black and Hispanic. There are folks that my niece, she's in an interracial marriage, okay? Her husband is white, okay? You know, so I'm really looking at where that would be a great conversation for us all to listen to. Hopefully the racial people listen to because these people exist. These relationships exist. But I have a question that came to me, which is interesting. Actually, two questions. Here it says, this person asked, which is the same question as before, how would you get an 8-year-old to be interested in poetry? And also, they have another one. Do you have a kid's book, and are you planning on writing a kid's book?
I do have a kid's book. And do. When my mother passed away, I started writing, and I haven't even wrote the second book yet because it's taken me some while. But the book is titled Nelly Loves Her Toys, and I used my grandbabies as a muse for the book. So they're actually in the book and I believe also on the cover. And I use their pictures, their toys. So I do have a children's book out there. Like I said, I haven't wrote the second book that right after my mother died. My mother's nickname was Nellie. So Nellie Loves Her Toys is the name of the book.
Okay.
And it's not hard to get a kid to.
But as we get down to our last few minutes, before we get down to our last few minutes, unfortunately, the people on the internet, the show will end shortly at the top of the hour. Of course, we may have a few minutes, but I want to make sure that you share with everyone that's listening on the internet and also on the phone line. Please share your contact information. How can they get your work, your poetry, your books?
Everything is on Amazon. Cotton Campbell, it's Cotyn Campbell. You can find me on Amazon. I'm on WordPress. I'm on Goodreads. I'm on Instagram, Cotton Campbell. I'm on Twitter, Cotton Campbell. I'm on all social media platforms, Cotton Campbell.
But now explain to them how Cotton is spelled.
Cotyn.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Cotyn is in Nancy.
Okay, so they might think C, but right. So it's K O T T Y N Campbell for all you listeners. Is K O, not C O. It's K O T T Y N. As you just said, on Amazon, Facebook, that's where you would find her. Okay, and Cotyn, what do you got coming up next, though, as far as your poetry and your writing books? Do you have a book that you're working on now that we should look forward to?
I do, and I haven't gotten the title yet, but I'm actually collaborating because I also have some anthologies out there as well. But I'm collaborating with GPA, a.k.a. James Gordon. He was also on the show last year. We had him on. He and I used to be poetry partners back in the day. So we have, we did one of the poems on the show, but we traveled throughout Chicago, Wisconsin, Indianapolis, Houston, Sacramento. We've traveled some places and we've done poetry together. So we're collaborating to do a relationship poetry book. And we don't have an estimated date of when that book will release.
Okay.
Can I say something else?
Sure.
Yeah, Cotyn, because we didn't have
enough time to be able to really go over all your writings and things. You know, maybe the next time you can have a whole 2-hour show, you know, because there's a lot there, you know, that people need to know as far as your writings and, you know, what you're working on. And I'm waiting for that song that you know, I know you're going to, are you going to be singing on that song, on that poem that you just did? Because that was really good.
Well,
we'll
have to
sing a little bit.
Normally,
sometimes
I do.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I have 90 seconds.
Oh, no, I was going to say, sometimes I do like little snippets of songs when I'm doing poetry. And sometimes I do a little, I told Karen White years ago, I said, you know, I love that love poet. Sometimes I do that.
Okay. Well, let me do this.
I'm working on it, though.
Real quick, let me do this. Let me go ahead and do the outro. We'll stay on the line. And for everybody that's on the internet, if it shuts down, it's because it's the end of the live broadcast. For all of you that are still on the board, we'll do a little bit of overtime, and we'll see you next Saturday. You've been listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Overtime is in effect right after this. Welcome to Overtime, if you're still available and hearing it on the internet, well, then you're blessed. But right now, we still have our guests and individuals on the phone lines briefly as we go ahead and wrap things up. And Cotton, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And love the poetry, the songs. I'm sorry, the stories and the what is so, as I said, kind of risque in a sense, you know, but it hits to the heart, especially for Valentine's Day weekend. That was so awesome, and I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, I didn't have a chance to share it with everyone, but you guys look forward to next week on the TMGS. We have a tentatively scheduled our guest. He was, in fact, we were the show he did his first interview on, and his second. He came back, and this will be the third time. Akbar the Great will be returning next week. And then we have a few other guests that are coming back that we've had in the past, and some new guests. So TMGS 2022. A whole new view is what's in store for you, all right? So with that being said, hey, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Hope that whatever team you're rooting for, which many of you don't have a team in the Super Bowl, but you're going to celebrate any damn way and have fun, most folks do. And happy Valentine's Day to all you ladies. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy. Valentine's falls on a Monday, and that's crazy, Val. You got the Super Bowl on Sunday and Valentine's on a Monday. And, guys, I'm sorry. Your ass is going to go broke on barbecuing, flowers, and chocolates this weekend. Okay? I hope you saved up and made sure you kept in mind that your beer, your barbecue, you better make sure you have something for that special one come Monday. Don't give it to her on Super Bowl. See, that's a big mistake. You don't say, Happy Valentine's, baby. It's Super Bowl Sunday. You ain't even thinking about my ass. See, you so selfish. Your selfish ass, you trying to get it over with as quickly as possible. You're supposed to wait until the day of Valentine's. Don't do that, fellas. Wait till Valentine's Day. Make it special. All right? I'm just saying. And I'm just. All right, ladies, gentlemen. See you next Saturday here on the TMGS as we always and continue to be that variety show. And we'll be back next Saturday. You never know what's going to be here on this show. God bless. Okay. Once again, here's our closing theme. Talk to you later. Peace.
Thanks,
God. Thank you.